Blog Talk Radio.
Live Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carper. Tonight, we're going to be discussing health and healing. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer, a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, God. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all of your grace and mercy that you have allowed us to experience this day. Father, we thank you for your word that you've given us that we might not sin against you in the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us because of the obedience of your Son, Jesus Christ, submitting unto death for us and paying for our sins with his perfect blood. Father, I thank you for the beatings that he took for our physical wholeness so that we could be healthy and whole, so that we could be effective in our service to you, God. Father, I thank you for this word blessing someone tonight. I believe that you will have your perfect will through this word tonight. I believe that you will heal someone tonight. I believe that you will restore someone tonight. I believe that you will encourage someone tonight, God. I believe that you're going to empower someone to walk into their wholeness this evening. I thank you for this right now. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to listen to the song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
Shifting the atmosphere.
Come into the
It's moving and it's breaking. My brain is shifting the atmosphere. Every oak will be destroyed. I believe it. Every chain is broken. This worship is shifting the atmosphere. Help me say it's moving and it's breaking. Our praise is shifting the atmosphere. It's moving and it's breaking.
Whenever things don't feel like you think they should, don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. You'll be shifting the atmosphere. Cried myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. And they tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. Breakthrough and healing. Our worship is shifting. Shifting. Shifting the atmosphere.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Today we're going to be discussing health and healing. And the reason we're going to be discussing health and healing is because there is always a need for us to love ourselves by maintaining our health. And there is always a need when we are feeling ill or when we have experienced injuries or as we are experiencing discomfort of old age, there's a need for us to latch on to the promises in God's word and receive the healing that God has for us, receive the relief that God has for us. And sometimes we have to simply receive peace that believes that God's grace is sufficient for us in all situations. And we have to understand that when we are humble and we allow ourselves to experience life, understand that pain and discomfort and suffering is a part of life. This is a part of the experience, but God says that with every temptation, he will make a way of escape, but not only will he make a way out of our trials and tribulations and troubles, but he says that he will not allow us to have more placed upon us than we can bear. So whatever illness you are experiencing, whatever discomfort you are experiencing, whatever healing you require, know that God is not going to allow it to break you. It is not going to be allowed to cause you to perish. It is an opportunity for God to get glory by you receiving the healing that he's already paid for. I want to make it clear tonight that before Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross, he was beat 3 times with 39 lashes each time, with a whip with pieces of bone and metal at the end of it that was designed to tear away at his flesh, tear away at his muscles, and pull him to pieces for our physical wholeness. Jesus Christ had to suffer agonizing pain in order to pay for our wholeness, our health, our healing. And considering the magnitude of the price paid for our healing, the need for us to receive that healing is as significant as the need for us to receive a payment for our sin in his blood. See, his perfect blood that he shed on Calvary was the payment for all of our sin, past, present, and future, all of our sin. And we, in humility, we receive that payment. We believe Jesus Christ's perfect blood paid for our sin. In the same way that we believe that his blood paid for our sin, we have to learn to believe that his stripes, his beatings, paid for our physical wholeness, paid for our health and healing. See, one of the attacks of the devil is that the devil will come against you and tell you that whatever you're going through, you've brought it on yourself and you probably deserve it because you did this or you didn't do this or you deserve this or you're being punished for this. And you have to renew your mind to the word of God and stand on promises of God. So one of the first things I want to do tonight is point out what God's will is for us. And it's a verse that we've all, many of us, heard before, but it's a verse that you need to keep with you at all times, that you understand how much God loves you. In 3 John chapter 2, Third John is chapter 1, verse 2, because chapter 1, Third John only has one chapter. In verse 2 of Third John, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." And this is an important thing. This is something that you have to keep with you, because God's will is for us to prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. You see, there are three things here. There's that prosperity that we all are familiar with, having what we need to do, And then health that goes with that prosperity. But then the last thing is actually the most important thing. It says, even as thy soul prospereth. You see, your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. Your soul will prosper as you keep your mind renewed to the Word of God. As you keep your mind in remembrance of the things of God, then your soul will prosper, and that will cause you to be in physical health, and that will cause you to prosper in everything else that you do. And it's interesting to me that in this particular verse in 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, the only chapter there is there, it happens to have these things in reverse order, because your soul would need to prosper. Your mind, will, and emotions would need to be familiar with the promises of God, renewed in your mind, and focused on the healing that God desires for you to have. And then your physical wholeness would come from stress being relieved. Physical wholeness would come from rest being received. Physical wholeness would come from you standing on the promises of God, and because you would be at rest and at peace and at ease, your soul would be prospering because you're standing on the promises of God, and then your health would be improving because the stress related to not standing on the promises of God, to walking in fear instead of walking in love, right, would cause you to be all over the place and not prosper in what you do, but accomplish a whole lot of nothing. And these things all create stress and create illness and create sickness and create disease. But sometimes we know that there are instances in the Word where Jesus Christ said, the illness that this person has is not because of anything they did, but because God is going to use their deliverance in order to get great glory for him. And so we have to remember that illness and disease is a part of life. But health and healing is also part of God getting great glory and a part of that Jesus Christ paid for on Calvary with his stripes, with the beatings that he took. So I want to look at some of the things that God has to say to us in his word in the Old Testament about what it is he says about himself in relation to us. Look at what he says about himself in Psalm 103:3. It says, I am God who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. God is not unable to heal any sickness, any disease. He's not unable to forgive your iniquity. So no matter what you've done, the devil will use your guilt. The devil will use your ignorance of the word in some cases. The devil will use shame in order to cause you to come into agreement with him that somehow you deserve to be punished. And God is saying, I am the one who forgives all your iniquities. I am the one who healeth all your diseases. God is waiting to get glory from you receiving his healing. Now look at what it says about Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ This is a verse in the Old Testament speaking about something that had not yet happened. But plan is perfect, and God's plan has been recorded from the beginning. What it says here in Isaiah 53:5, it says, but he, speaking of Jesus Christ, before it happened, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. So we have to receive that healing. We have to receive that wholeness that he achieved through us by his beatings. And our peace, and our chastisement of our peace was upon him. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was beat to a pulp to pay for our sin. And he was wounded for our transgressions. See, we have to receive that payment because God did not allow his son to endure that level of suffering for nothing. It is God's will for us to prosper and in health, even as our soul prospers. And see, this is connected to the first and great commandment. The first and great commandment is love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second commandment is like unto it. We are to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. See, and when we love ourselves, well, first, when we love God, we acknowledge God for who he is, and we trust him, we please him, we serve him, we obey him. And when you read the heart of God, you can only say his plan is good. But then when you read the word of God, you can hear God's heart for you, and then you can hear what your heart for God should be. So look at what this says. Look at what God says in Jeremiah 30, verse 17. The first part of the verse, it says, I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds. That's the Lord. See, this is the promise from God, right? Now, our response to God should be similar to what it says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 14. Where it says, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. Thou art my praise. If our attitude has to be an attitude of confidence in God's word. God says, I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds. That's the Lord. Now, this tells you a couple things. It tells you that God's people sometimes are wounded. Sometimes God's people are sick. There are some people who actually believe that that saved people don't get sick. Saved people don't sin. Saved people don't have problems. These people are not telling the truth. They are not in line with what the Word of God says. We know that all these things are part of life. And we know that what it says here is the attitude that, well, not the attitude that we should have, but to say that this is what God actually says. He says, I will restore health unto thee, which means health might be removed from you for a period, but God will restore it. The devil might attack you with illness. You may find yourself injured for whatever reason. But God says, I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds. That's the Lord. And see, you know there was a time with the Apostle Paul where he asked for the thorn in his side to be removed. And God said to the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. And he continued in spite of the discomfort. For me right now at this age, as a 57-year-old man, I feel pain more than I used to feel pain on a regular basis. And yes, I probably could be doing a much better job in terms of exercising. I do a very good job in terms of eating. But I'll tell you, I had an experience this weekend where I ate something that I probably should not have eaten in my body. Punished me. My body made me pay. And as uncomfortable as that was, as painful as it was, it didn't last forever. But actually realize that there are times when we need to listen to our bodies. We need to pay attention to what our body is telling us to do. And our body would tell us when we should not be eating certain things. Our body will tell us when we need to rest. Our body will tell us when we need to exercise and strengthen some of the weaker parts of our body to be more effective. And just like prayer strengthens our spiritual life, exercise strengthens our physical body and allows us to be less prone to injury. See, when you exercise, you're conditioning your body to strengthen your joints and reinforce your joints with more muscles and tendons and all that kind of good stuff. And it allows you to be less prone to injury. And actually, when you get down to this first and great command, first, we love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind and strength, which means we meditate on the word, and we know that it's his will for us to prosper and be in health as our soul prospers. We know that God forgives all of our iniquities and heals all of our diseases. We know that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, who was wounded for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquities, and our peace was laid upon him. By his stripes, his beatings, we were healed, right? So we know all of that. And we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So now we have to obey the rest of this first and great command. Second part, which says we're to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, meaning that we love ourselves, and then we love our neighbor. And what's important to really get here is, you, in order to really love yourself, you have to take care of your body. You have to understand that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. It is God and Christ dwelling within you through the Holy Spirit. And your job is to be able to go into the world in areas of concern, interest, and need and reconcile the lost, reconcile the world back to God. That's your job. And you can't do it if you're not healthy. And so we have to love ourselves by drinking water, by walking, by exercising, by eating our fruits and vegetables and eating well-prepared meat and taking time to fast from time to time, and understanding that that's a part of loving ourselves is caring for this earthen vessel. And so when we are not healthy, when we are ill, we have to stand on a promise in Jeremiah that I will restore our health. I will heal us of our wounds. And there are going to be times when things happen. There are things that can fall on you. There are surfaces that, if they're not well maintained, they can cause you to fall. And so all kinds of things happen in life. But to know that God is there and that God is not overlooking you. God is not looking past you. God loves you. And so one of the things that we have to remember is that people in the world are looking to see if it makes a difference to be a child of God. We have to understand that God is telling us, hey, you know what? I love you. And I sent my only begotten son to die for you so that we can dwell together, so that you could be whole, so that the curse Adam's disobedience brought upon all mankind can be lifted and reversed. And so now we have to follow the instructions that we were given by Jesus Christ. Now, I think it's interesting what Jesus Christ did when he was here on earth with his disciples first. Look at what he commanded his disciples to do here in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. It says, and Jesus went about all the cities, villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. There are not some diseases that God will heal and other diseases God will not heal. God will heal all diseases. God can heal every sickness, every disease. So cancer is not beyond God. AIDS is not beyond God. There is no disease that is experienced by mankind that is beyond God's ability to heal. We have to believe. And when we believe and we walk in the power that we have been given, then we are going to get glory for God. But we're also going to experience God's health and healing in our personal life. Because, see, God desires for us to walk into the fullness of all of his promises. And so part of walking in all of God's promises is walking in obedience to God. But look at what God told his people in the book of Exodus, chapter 15, verse 26. Now, this is important because you remember how the Egyptians didn't want the children of Israel to go because they were their slaves or their workforce. And they didn't want them to go. But God said, I'm going to bring these plagues upon Egypt. And he brought these 10 horrific things where they not only let the children of Israel go, they let them go and they gave them their jewels and their gold and all that. And still pursued them until they were washed up, until the chariots of Pharaoh were washed up in the Red Sea. But see, look at what it says here in Exodus 15:26. God says, and he's speaking to his people now. He says, I say, if thou wilt diligently hearken to my voice, the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, this is what's important. God is telling them, obey me, hearken to my voice, do what's right in my sight. Give ear to my commandments, keep all my statutes, and I will not put any of the diseases that I put upon the Egyptians upon you. Then he says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And it's almost prophetic in that God is telling them, I know you're not going to get this right all the time, but I am the Lord that heals you. I will heal you. And you know that there are three qualities of God. God is all-knowing. God is all-powerful. God is present everywhere. These are the three qualities that make God God. There is no other like God. It's only God who has those three qualities of being all-powerful, all-present, and all-knowing. And he said, he's the one who heals us. He is the one who heals us. One of the things I want to point out is in our daily lives, in our regular experience here on earth, when we're in church, we have to be honest. And many of us will quietly suffer when we are actually in the place to be made whole. See, I've heard many unbelievers say things like, if your power was so powerful, churches should be full of Christians healing everybody and emptying out, or not the churches, the hospitals should be full of Christians emptying out the hospital. Now, I'll tell you that there are people who are healed every day. Every day, somebody is healed through the power of the Holy Spirit. I believers who believe, and they are going into the hospital, and they are healing people. Now, what these unbelievers would say is that you should be putting the hospitals out of business. And really, what you have to remember is the enemy of health and healing is unbelief. Occurred even in Jesus Christ's hometown of Nazareth. Jesus Christ said he himself could not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief, because they were too familiar. They just said, we know this Jesus. We knew him as a kid. We knew this. And he said, hey, I can't do many mighty works here because of your unbelief. He said, a prophet is without honor in his own town. And it's interesting because in many of our households, there are people who would receive healing from others and not us. Now, it shouldn't stop us from praying for the people in our households, but sometimes people being too familiar had the same effect as had in Nazareth with Jesus Christ. People's unbelief would allow them to not receive healing. Look at what it says here in the book of James, chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. It says, is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And see, what you have to remember here is that when you are sick, we should be ready to call the elders of the church to pray over us and anoint us with oil in the name of the Lord. And see, and to have them pray, right? Because it says prayer offered in faith will make a sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. See, whenever Jesus Christ was doing miracles, when he was healing people, he was always looking to God. He was always getting glory for God. And we understand that that's what we're doing. When we are ministering healing to the sick, the elders of the church, when we are praying over those who are sick, when we are anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are getting glory for God. And there are people who would say, it doesn't take all that. Once again, these unbelieving believers are not only canceling out other people's healing, they're canceling out their own healing. Because they're saying, oh, I don't believe in all that anointing with oil, and I don't believe in the elders laying hands on me. I don't believe in people praying over me. And you know what? You don't believe. And look at this. It says, the Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. See? Our sins have already been paid for. And so now we have to obey God's word and confess our sins to each other and pray for each other so that we can be healed. I believe there's an element of humility here. And, you know, quite honestly, if you experience enough pain, if you experience enough discomfort, if you get sick and tired of being sick and tired and you decide you want to live a more than abundant life, then you might decide that you're going to obey God. You might decide that you're going to diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. I remember a story in the Old Testament about Moses, how he was torn between obeying his wife, pleasing his wife, and obeying God. God told him, hey, your son that was just born, you're going to circumcise him on the eighth day. And his wife was not, she was not of the children of Israel, and she thought that this practice of circumcision was barbaric, and she was telling Moses, you're not going to do that to my child, to my baby boy. You're not going to cut his foreskin off of his member, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And Moses was torn because any of us who are married and husbands, you know, we want to please our wife, but if it ever comes between pleasing God and pleasing our wife, there can't be a choice there. But basically, what God told Moses, well, how he dealt with it was made Moses sick unto death. Basically gave Moses made Moses an offer he can't refuse. He got the choice of living, obeying God and living, or not. And of course, we know the rest of his history because he continued to live, so he circumcised his son at the appointed time in spite of his life. And he hearkened to the voice of the Lord as we should. We should diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord our God. And it's not always easy because there are going to be people that we love. There are going to be people that we care about who do not agree with what God is telling us to do. And that does not dismiss you from the requirement to obey God. See, God comes before all others. And even Adam's real sin was hearkening to the voice of his wife. And that decision affected all mankind. All mankind, because Adam decided to listen to his wife instead of listen to God. It's a hard word, and I'm not attacking women when I say that. What I'm doing is I'm pointing out that we always have a choice to believe and yield to the will of God, or not believe and yield to the will of people. And if we make it our business to please people, we're going to be most miserable. We're going to be most miserable. We want to say what God says in Jeremiah 17:14. It says, heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed, and I will be saved. You are the one I praise. See, God has to be our focus. That has to be where our praise is. And see, when we get to the point where we are standing on those promises, then we're not going to be disappointed in our expectations. Look at what it says here in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 22. It says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. They are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." The word of God is health to all of your flesh. The word of God is life to those who find God's words. Do not let them depart from our eyes, and do not let them depart from the midst of our heart. And when we attend to the words of God, we incline our ear to the things of God, we're coming in agreement with God that God's plan is good. His plan to prosper us and keep us in perfect health, even as our soul prospers, right? Now, one of the things I've noticed as I continue to get older, is there's a difference between being ill, being sick, and simply aging. Normal wear and tear is a part of life. And yet, even in that, God can do for you what he did for Moses. When Moses passed away, he was 120 years old. Moses, it said, maintained his physical strength all the way up until the end. He ascended a mountain. It was one of his last. He looked over into the promised land that he was not allowed to go into because of his disobedience to God at some point. But what you see is how God, when you're doing the things of God for God, God can strengthen you. But once again, as he told Ptolemy, "My grace is sufficient for you. Thorn in your side or no thorn in your side, my grace is going to be enough." And see, God's grace consists of two things. God's grace consists of his unmerited favor, all the great things we get from him that we don't deserve. God's grace also consists of his enabling power. It gives us the ability to do anything we need to do in spite of any physical limitation. So we know where the word of God says that God's strength is perfected in our weakness, meaning that whatever our physical limitations are, unlimited power of the Holy Spirit is able to transcend any limitations that we may have and is always going to be enough to get the job done. We simply have to avail ourselves of that power and believe. And see, God tells us that we're going to do signs, miracles, and wonders in the earth. Look at what it says here in Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. It says, "And these signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." See, laying hands on the sick, causing them to recover, that is something that we shall do. It says, these are the signs that will follow those of us who believe, right? And so one of the things that you have to remember is that the Apostle Paul was picking up wood one time, and he was bit by a serpent. He was bit by a snake, and he shook the snake off, and everybody was expecting him to die, and he didn't. This is what this is talking about. And when you see how much glory God got in that situation, God received glory because Paul kept going. He didn't allow that to stop anything. He stood on this promise. And the serpent bit him, and it did not affect him. Now, do you think that there are people who are so offended by you making Jesus Christ your master and Lord, they might poison you? That's the world we live in. It says, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you, right? So you don't have to be afraid of people attempting to poison you because of what you stand for. And there are people crazy enough to do stuff like that. But you got to realize how big your God is and that God sees everything. And if Word of God says that if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. Now, this doesn't mean you go around ingesting poison. Remember what Jesus Christ said when the devil told him to jump off of this high place. He said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God," right? Same thing for people who believe they're worshiping God when they have a church full of snakes and they're just passing snakes around. No, you've heard enough of those horror stories as well. Do not tempt the Lord thy God. Do not be a fool. But God is saying, hey, you know what? If in the course of your daily goings and comings, a serpent should bite you, it will not harm you. If someone poisons you and you drink something deadly, it shall not hurt you. You shall lay hands on the sick, and people you lay hands on shall recover. And that's what happens when we believe. And so we have to get to the point where our faith is actuated by what we do, right? Look at what this says about the power of the Word of God in Psalm 107:20. It says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. You know what? God has an interesting way of doing things. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And also, at the other extreme, he says, knowledge puffeth up. Right? And so we don't want to get so lifted up in pride that what we do know comes an obstacle because we're elevated in pride. At the same time, we don't want to be so ignorant that we're destroyed because we know the Bible says my people, God's people, are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You need to know what the Bible says. You need to understand when the Bible says this shall happen, then you have to believe this shall happen. You can't believe what you don't know. You have to study God's word so that you can know what the promises are so that when you are attacked, if somebody told you that saved people don't get sick, they're lying to you. But when you get sick, there is a process. There is an avenue. There is a way of escape. You're not intended to perish. And when we prepared to get God glory by standing on his word the way that he's called us to, and that's what God is looking for. Look at what Jesus Christ had to say. Matthew chapter 8 verse 8, it says, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. You know, Jesus Christ's response to that man was, I have not found such great faith with Israel. You know, can you imagine Jesus Christ telling you that your faith is first rate? Your faith is the highest quality. See, that's the kind of faith we should all aspire to. Is this centurion, he wasn't even Jewish. He's a Roman guy. He's speaking to Jesus Christ, and he's like, hey, I'm not worthy that you should even come under my roof. You speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. He was asking for his servant to be healed. And Jesus Christ said, hey, I've not found so great a faith in all of Israel. And we have to understand it's the word that goes forth that brings the healing. When we understand the power of the authority of the word and we allow the word to go forth, then not only can we receive healing, we can help to bring healing to others. And so many times, if we recall all of the instances where God healed us, that's why it's actually the operation of the Holy Spirit related to healing is called gifts of healing. Because every time you are healed, it is a gift. Gifts, plural, of healings, plural, because you're going to be sick more than once in your life. You're going to be injured more than once in your life. You're going to be in discomfort and pain more than once in your life. And as you experience these times of illness and discomfort and pain and disease, you are going to be healed. And you believe and you receive that healing. And so you have to understand these are opportunities for God to get great glory. And if you did do something, if you did sin in some way that brought this sickness, this disease upon you, you will be forgiven. That's what the Word of God says. And that's what you have to believe. And when you learn according to the promises of God and reject your own understanding, as it says in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and God will direct your path. It literally is telling you to reject your own understanding so that we can know God as the one who restores us to health. So that we can know God as the one who heals our wounds, right? And what it says here in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, he himself, speaking of Jesus, bore our sins in his own body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, we have been healed. You have been healed. You have been healed by the wounds, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, who bore our sins on the tree so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. So you're not just being healed to be healed. You're being healed so that you can live for righteousness, right? And look at what it said about him. We already read this. You know, we have to get to the point where we are standing on the promises of God so deliberately that we are allowing God to heal us, to strengthen us, to prepare us, to bring deliverance to others, to bring God's word to others, to be an example of what it means to live a more than abundant life spiritually first. And mentally and emotionally and physically, and then financially. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth tonight. God, Father, I thank you for you touching someone in a way that causes them to receive your health, healing, wholeness this evening. God, I thank you for the strength that you've given us to glorify you in all that we do. Thank you for someone receiving your healing and your peace and your power this evening. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network, Tuesday night teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Be ye transformed.
Well, I'll tell you a story now. About a man. Called Shouting John. John joined a dead church. They didn't believe in dancing. They didn't believe in speaking in other tongues. But all of a sudden, they opened the doors of that old dead church. John joined that old dead church. When John joined the little dead church, he came in. Dancing all around the church, they tried to hold his legs, his hands were gone. When they turned the handle loose, the feet were going. It's just like fire. It's just like fire. It's just like fire. Shut up in my bones. They did everything they could to stop old John. When they could not stop him, they made up in their mind. We gotta go out to John's house, y'all. But doesn't he know? We don't act like that at our church. Doesn't John know? We got dignified people, and they're in our church. We're going. We're going to John's house. Well, come on down here, y'all. When they got out there, come. They found this 90-year-old man, him and an old Peter Pew.
Will you clap your hands?
Did you see all of that land that you all just drove in on? He said, God gave me all of that land. You don't want to let me praise the Lord in your church. My members, I want you to bend over and look. Come on, bend down. Go. He said, I'm still able to harvest my own crop. Stay right there. I'm still able to walk down the avenue of you. He said, not only that, but look at here. Look. Look. I got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, rams, hogs, dogs, chicken, turkeys, rabbits. You name it! God gave me! When I was sick, he healed me. When I was put outdoors, he put a roof over my head. Have you got anything to praise him for tonight? Sean said, since I can't shout in your church, I've got something I want you to do for me. Help me sing. I feel like praising him.